You're director of creative writing at Harvard. It seems like kind of an unlikely job title for somebody whose initial career path involves skateboarding.
Perhaps so. Perhaps so. But I'm one of those people who I see a direct link between writing and skateboarding, so it's not so unusual in my twisted imagination.
Tell me what that link is. Expand on that a little bit.
I really think that the skills required to be a successful writer or a successful artist of any kind are the same skills that are required for being a successful skateboarder, and that is that you really see the world differently than everybody else does, and you have a patience and a perseverance and maybe a penchant for masochism in ways that most other people don't. You know, what it takes to be a successful skateboarder is to see the pitch of a handrail in a way that non-skateboarders don't see it, to find a transition fountain that, you know, offers something to your imagination that it doesn't offer to the rest of the world. And you have to be able to stay there hour after hour and, you know, hurt yourself, do splits on the banister, whack your shins, and stay there bleeding and sweating until you can make the trick that you want to make. And that's the same thing for writers. You have to log the hours. You have to look at the world in a different way and be prepared to sit in a chair as long as it takes to render that world and the characters in your imagination truthfully.
Your new book is Naming the World. It's filled with a variety of exercises for the creative writer. Talk a little about the interactive sections of the book. What paces do you put writers through in this book?
There's all kinds of things that we ask writers to do. The 65 authors that contributed to the book are, in my opinion, the finest writers in the country, and they've asked the reader to do things such as find an old postcard and make a story up from it. They've asked them to reimagine a Greek myth in contemporary times. They've asked them to trot out their most shameful experience and render it on the page. And then there's other things as well. You know, imagine or write a scene involving a man carrying a ladder. Come up with the eighth dwarf in Snow White 7 and write a story about him. There's something like over 400 exercises in the book. So I think, you know, one of the best things about it is that everybody's going to find something that's going to be useful to them.
As you mentioned, you've amassed 65 of these acclaimed authors and teachers. A lot of them have good ties to Iowa and the workshop. I'd save that email you'd sent me a while back. I'm going to mention all of those in the story. I guess when you first started approaching all of these folks, and there are some big names on the list, were there any that made you just say, "Holy cow, he or she said yes"?
I said holy cow just about every time someone said yes, because the way I came up with the writers that I wanted in the book was I just kind of went through my bookshelves and thought about who I would most ideally include in the book, and almost without exception, every one of them came on board enthusiastically and immediately. So I was constantly surprised. I mean, when you send an email to Joyce Carol Oates or send an email to Tom Robbins or Dorothy Allison or Elizabeth McCracken, you know, the list is endless, and they send you a note back saying, "This sounds like a great idea. Please count me in. What can I do to help?" All you do is sit around the rest of the day saying, "Oh, wow, oh, wow."
Must have been a great feeling for you. You've got kind of an online contest going with the book as well. Tell me a little bit how that works.
Right. We've set up this contest on brettanthonyjohnston.com where writers who complete an exercise from the book can send it in to the website, and if it's one of the winners, it'll get posted and published online. And again, it's just an invitation to the writers across the country to take part in this. I really think that writing is one of the most difficult things that anyone will ever choose to do, and the book just tries to make it a little bit easier, tries to extend an invitation to the writers to take part in this. I think it's a dignified and valuable way to spend your time, and the contest is just another way for me to link up with the readers and writers out there, the ones that I wouldn't normally have a chance to meet. I'm terrifically excited about the contest.
And what does the name Naming the World mean?
It's a great question, and without trying to sound too grandiose, I think that's the job of the writer. I think that's the job of an artist to name the world. You're trying to find the absolute ideal combination of letters to make sense of the chaos of existence. You're trying to name the world in a way that only you can. That's what the great poets, the great writers, that's what we're all trying to do. It's a huge task, and it's as intimidating as it is frustrating as it is terrifying, but it can be done, and that's one of the things that we're trying to do with the book, is give the writers out there the tools they need to name their worlds.
I just read Calcutta, your contribution to this napkin project that Esquire was doing. That's also a good writing exercise. You have to choose your words so carefully that they all fit on a cocktail napkin.
And let me say, I have horrible handwriting, and so the level of concentration it took me to not just come up with a story that would fit on a napkin, but to actually make it legible on the napkin, that's maybe the hardest thing that I've ever done as a fiction writer. So I'm glad that at least you could read it.
Well, they typed it out, they transcribed it, so I didn't actually read it from the napkin, but you know.
That's not surprising.
You're going to be back in Iowa City, I guess, in July to do some teaching. You're doing a book signing there and reading. Do you have the dates handy or off the top of your head when you're going to be back?
I know it's the last week in July. I think my reading at Prairie Lights is July 24th, a Thursday evening. And I'll be teaching that week, and I'll be teaching that weekend in the Iowa Summer Writing Festival. And, you know, as I've said on too many occasions, I absolutely love Iowa. I love Iowa City, and I'm, you know, every time that I leave, I'm itching to get back. So I'm looking forward to it.